everyone, and welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and women slapping meat in the middle of the square circle, the stories they tell of the process. I'm GB. You got Jake and Matt. We're back at it again, and this time we're all in our respective homes.
In the homeland.
A nice feeling, even though I'm only here for today, and then I leave. But I'm going to DR for a wedding, and it's a vacation. So
it's very nice. So have you been able to sleep yet? Properly, like normal hours?
No, it's been weird. It's been sporadic. It'll like I'll like be wide awake, and then like out of nowhere, I'm just like, and I'm back asleep again. And then it'll be, you know, I'll wake up again, and then I'm like wide awake, and then out of nowhere, I'm just falling right back asleep. It's been fun.
Hell yeah.
It's been great.
Hell yeah.
You have narcolepsy, dude.
Riding light.
Narcolepsy.
Yeah, just the middle of the show. I'm just going, just like honk out, like right in front of everyone. Action might make for some good views. Who knows? You know, that's how we get the audience. I'll put the butts in the seats. Of course, so guys, there's been a lot going on in the world of wrestling, as always, whether it's cross promotional opportunities that randomly pop up out of nowhere that no one saw coming to, you know, wild matches being formed that no one thought would have possibly had happened, or just WWE continuing to
the greatest love story.
To the greatest love story. Yeah.
Ever told.
I mean, there's just so much going on. And we're going to try and cover as much as we possibly can. But first things first, fellas, how's everything been? Jake, how you hanging? What you playing?
I'm doing all right. I've been playing a lot of Fallout 76.
Oh, really? Still on it?
I've gotten.
I hear it's in a good place right now.
It is in a good place, unless you need to launch a nuke. You'd think they'd make it easier to launch a nuke.
That's the whole point of it.
To launch a nuke.
Wait, is it like difficult to do it in the game, or is it like like graphically difficult to do it?
No,
like,
it's difficult to do it in the game.
Like, okay.
My buddy and I were like, all right, let's finish this mission. Let's go launch a nuke. That'll be cool. And it's wave after wave after wave of security robots. And we have almost no ammunition left. We have no stim packs left. We spent 3 hours trying to do this.
Oh my gosh.
And my game crashed.
No.
Of course.
And I was like, I'm done. Luke, I'm done for the night. I can't do it again. I can't do this again.
Oh no.
But yeah, so we're having to go grind some smaller missions to get some ammo and stim packs back. So
you gotta get the gear. I mean, that's classic Fallout. Fallout. You know, like you think you got the mission lined up, and then it all goes to shit.
But it was weird because it's like it didn't feel like it was really telling. You know how usually it's like, okay, you go to this waypoint that's like, you know, use this computer, and then it's go do this thing. No, it was just like launch a nuke, and it was like, okay, well, how the hell do we do that? But then last night when we were doing a grinding mission, it like walked us through step by step how to make a stew for someone, and I'm like.
But you I know how to make
you can't do that with a nuke. I know how to do it.
One of them is a survival technique, and the other one's a destruction of mankind. I'm glad they're teaching you the survival technique step by step. You know,
I mean, you could argue that using that nuke is also a survival technique. So
depends on how you want to look at it. I guess. Oh my gosh, we're going into dangerous territory here. Quick, Matt, talk about Destiny.
that's right. Maybe. The big new expansion dropped an hour ago, so I'm hoping to deal with you chuckleheads in about 10 minutes. We're going to get this episode done.
Got it. Okay. That's why you wanted to do the podcast a little earlier today.
Let's go.
All right. We got it. We'll keep this one going then.
As if the servers aren't going to be logged.
Yeah. I mean,
the next 2 hours.
Like you're not just going to sit there on stream just talking to people for like 30 minutes. Just waiting for. Actually, I just picked up X Defiant, that like totally not Call of Duty game.
Yeah, I need to check that out.
It's okay. It's fine. The thing for me is I'm a competitive, you know, multiplayer guy because that's been my experience in my career for the last like decade. So like I just look at a lot of these games in a very different way than like most people do. So like when I logged in, I'm like, you know, I'm kind of like just checking boxes. I'm like, okay, cool, can do this. Okay, cool, can do that. And it just was like, you know, it's just one of the games. It's one of the games that has been released in the year. It's neither bad nor it's good. It just does things, and it's fun, you know, like it's not like changing the world, you know. I was actually seeing people complain about that Concord game that just got announced.
I was just about to bring it
up. And I'm like,
too,
that game looks perfectly fine to me. Like, I don't, it's very clear what it is. You know, it's a games as a service hero shooter game. There's nothing wrong with it. But, oh, man, you know, you'd ask people on the internet, you'd think they'd kill their cat or something like that.
It's anything that happened. It is. It's a little bit of a trend following. And wrestling, hey, through line, wrestling does this too. Sometimes when there's a thing that the audience is latching onto, let's just say battle royals are hot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
No, we're like whether it's extreme matches or it's women's wrestling, right? It explodes in one company, some other companies push their women's divisions more, or tag teams, stuff like that. It's similar. It's, you know, gaming in all media is similar to that. So like, it was battle royales were the thing for a while, and I feel like 5v5 hero shooters are kind of the thing people have been developing.
I don't even feel like they're the thing.
Years.
I don't even like.
There's,
it
there's,
doesn't
there's
even.
There's like two or three, right? There's two or three examples that have come out recently. That's it. It's not like it's some wave.
Yeah,
every company's making.
Everyone's trying to act like, you know, like this game is like taking away. Like it's just like it's just a game, you know. Whether you play it or you don't, I mean, it dies and lives. I mean, who the fuck cares? Life moves on. But it's just, oh man, people. Like I do find the irony of it though when I say like people put so much energy into something, but here we are doing a podcast about professional wrestling storylines.
And again, this ties into wrestling too. Here's my issue: if it's bad and you think it's bad, tell the world you think it's bad. The number of people who, again, wrestling, games, movies, who are get mad at the existence of things without experiencing said thing.
Mind-boggling, like, to me.
The fact that there's another action movie with Tom Cruise, like, oh, God, this is so bad. And I'm like, did you watch it?
Yeah.
Did you like it? If you don't like it, fine.
And also, Edge of Tomorrow fucking slapped. So,
oh, man, so very good.
What a great
Edge
movie.
Edge of Tomorrow, can I say... God, for somebody who wanted to get through this episode, I am tangenting. Do you know that the it's based on a manga?
Yeah,
I believe.
Edge of Tomorrow.
I think so. That's like the
that
time loop.
Freaking
one,
awesome.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
Do you know what the name of the manga is? It's way better.
What? Oh God.
The Only Way Is Kill.
Oh, that just sounds sick.
Such a way harder
Good
name.
Luck trying to market that to a U.S.
American,
market.
I know.
Oh, that actually is super sick. But also, Tom Cruise is a manga fan, confirmed? Okay, that's what's up. I'm with
I wouldn't make that leap.
Right? they don't teach that in Scientology? It's crazy. But, you know, I will say, though, I totally agree. And just the amount of leaps people take. And this is the last, like, random thing that I saw just not that long ago. They were talking, I guess one wrestler was talking about his like contract status with AEW and how long he had on it or didn't have on it. Wasn't like entirely sure.
Brian
I forget
Cage.
Who it was. It was a Brian Cage. Probably was. But all I saw was someone say, oh yeah, I have like two or three. No, it wasn't Brian Cage. It was like someone else saying I have two or 3 years left on my agreement or on my contract. And then the comment literally was like, how could these people not know how long is in the length of their agreement? Do they not like, are they not, you know, like does Tony Khan just do like handshake deals and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, like, I don't know how long my agreement is for Riot. Like, I don't know what my exact term of work dates are. Like, you know, like, I don't pay attention to those things. And I guarantee you professional wrestlers don't pay attention to that shit either. We make a ballpark.
General idea. Yeah.
And we look at our calendars. Idea. And
unless
then,
they hate it there, I would be concerned if a wrestler in my organization knew exactly
the exact date.
At 12
noon
at 12:01
February 4th. Yeah. Great.
I am fucking done. Like that's a different. Yeah. Like I'd never know that thing. It's just like people just want to get mad. So today we're not going to get mad about things. We're going to enjoy things because there's a lot of really good things happening.
I thought you were going to say we're going to get glad, and this was going to lead into like our first ad read.
Gosh,
is that
and I'm trying. I have messaged the glad people multiple times. I've said, guys, I want to be a part of this. You know, how do we bring your cleaning products to to dozens of professional wrestling fans?
Right.
No response. We'll wait in bated breath. Hopefully
that's because
Manscaped takes care of everybody else. Let's see if they can.
That's because you're That's because you've been emailing GLAAD, GLAAD.
That's right. Which and is, why yeah, would they want to promote a wrestling podcast? That doesn't make a lot of sense. You know what? I should have, son of a, I should have checked the damn email.
Yeah, that was the problem.
You know, this is why, you know, you don't have esports talent running running businesses. It never goes well for us. Now, being said, let's go ahead and dive in to what's been going on in the world of wrestling today. Enough of the tangents and the bullshit. So much to talk about. First things first, man, this one was random. Jordynne Grace just shows up at NXT to challenge current NXT Women's Champion Cora Jade, I believe, is
Roxanne.
Sorry, Roxanne Perez. My God, I am so far behind on what's going on in NXT. It honestly just caught me. And Roxanne Perez actually is phenomenal. She is awesome. One hell of a wrestler. So this is going to be a fascinating one. I believe that's going to be taking place at Battleground is the name of the show. So thankfully we have a guy who quite knows Jordynne Grace quite well, over here, happens to commentate on TNA. Oh. By the way, you could find TNA every Thursday. You can spend $1 on YouTube. Oh, and Jake's here as well. Jake commentates pro wrestling for TNA too. He does it on the side stream of the ESPN 8 The Ocho broadcast.
Right. No one watches.
Yeah, but I mean, Matt, this is awesome. Jordynne Grace showing up in NXT.
This one, I show up, I do my job. I've got a little bit of like inside knowledge here and there, but like you would be surprised at how little inside knowledge. I used to tell people this at WWE too, even as a talent. I was like, I'm not like there as they're writing scripts. I show up and they tell me what I'm doing that day. The luckiest I've ever gotten was you get a phone call or a text a couple days before TV being like, hey, we're doing this. So can you bring like a suit or can you bring like, that's it. Or I'm not where like, I don't know what Roman's doing. I don't know what they're going to do with Josh Alexander for the next 6 months kind of thing. So, but yeah, so this one was a deal. I saw Jordynne Grace trending. I was like, oh shit, Jordan's always doing something awesome. Always breaking down doors. And so I open and bada bing, bada boom. Very, very cool. Coming off the heels of her Royal Rumble appearance. Yeah. And now,
Multiple literally successful title defenses on TNA television. So
on a hell of a roll as our champion. It's just kind of like, with respect to some of her awesome opponents she's had, she's kind of steamrolling. She is she is going bang. She's had since January like 8 or 9 defenses, like between our live specials and you like kind of ask the question: challenges.
Who the hell stands up to that in TNA right now? I mean, that she has been crushing it.
Yeah,
like
it is a tough task, honestly. Yeah. You know, especially when we have people like Deonna Purrazzo joined AEW, was probably one of our top tier talents. Trinity went back to WWE. Yeah. So we're like, we've got some great kind of up and coming talent, but you know, it's going to take a minute for them to kind of get their feet under them to be up at that main event level. And also just beyond Jordynne Grace is like a physical specimen. Yeah. I mean, on multiple, like as a wrestler,
I just don't know what you do with the match.
Athlete.
What do you do with the match, man?
I don't know.
That like wild. Cause I mean, look, I will be honest and say that I think Jordynne should win. Because, firstly, because NXT is still a developmental brand and TNA is like a full blown out company. And like Jordynne defeated, you know, Trinity Fatu or Naomi for the title. So and Naomi's in WWE main roster television. And if Naomi went down to NXT, you would imagine that Naomi would.
You're doing a lot of transitive property math.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, there's like, you know, you gotta look at the tiers,
this is
no?
A,
like,
this isn't algebra.
Kind of, but then
mathematical. You know,
this
is
not.
Okay?
So, like, would we agree? Yeah. As much as, like, you're on to a thread there.
Yeah,
it's wrestling. One of the beautiful things about wrestling is that people can kind of spike. And so by your
it
definition,
it doesn't follow logic. It
Becky
follows
Lynch,
wrestling.
One of the greatest of all time in women's wrestling in WWE, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, Lyra beat her. So technically, Lyra should beat every woman to ever step in front of her because she beat, for a title, one of the greatest we've ever had.
True.
So transitive properties aren't always perfect.
I mean, we could transitive property the fuck out of that.
So,
though,
you know? So by that transitive property, the true final boss is the Hurricane himself, who defeated The Rock.
That's true.
On an episode of SmackDown, I think it was. Maybe he's the real final boss. Shane Helms.
These are the questions. He's the real final boss.
You see, but you got to look at the context of things, right? And how things played out. No, but I mean, I get it. I think it would be kind of silly to assume that she would win, you know, a match on WWE television against, you know, their current champion. But I think, like, you know, that could make for a really fun story.
But see, I thought a week ago that it would have been insane for the TNA Knockouts champion to show up on NXT and challenge for the NXT women's title. So I don't know anymore. I feel like this is what's so great about all this. I feel like we're hitting a reset in wrestling. Like, I know that we've had Forbidden Door at AEW and with them in New Japan for years now, but like WWE doing this is a big deal.
It's
a big deal. I mean, like this is to me the one of the biggest signals of this is not the old regime anymore.
And
it's fantastic. It's like this is what we want in wrestling. You know, like it's, you know, even DC and Marvel had comics where their heroes came together and fought together against a common evil or whatever. Like, yeah, let me have some of that. Like that's you know, we're in the wrestling multiverse era now, and I'm loving it. I can't wait to see where we go with this. But when I wasn't watching live when it happened, I got a notification on my phone and I was like so hyped. I was like, this is because not to in any way diminish like the relationship that AEW's built with New Japan and how they've really featured that. But like,
yeah.
It's a big deal that WWE has done that. Like they have famously hated acknowledging that there are other ways in which to receive your wrestling fix.
Yeah.
So generally, on that note, the funny thing, like that is true. Generally, overarching 90%, but like this is also, to be fair, one of those things. It's not utterly unheard of. Even go back to the 90s. The NWA, they had NWA champions represented on Raw before.
Yeah.
They had a brief, small working relationship with them. ECW, they did that little thing in like 98 or 99 where they had the guys come on TV and they sent somebody to ECW. But since then, in the modern era, the late Vince era, let's call it, like, yeah, it has pretty much been, you don't mention other companies. There was collaboration. Like, AEW kind of came out the door.
Well, it was
wanting
like,
to do things with Mexico and with Japan, and TNA is very like that too. So it's kind of always been in that DNA here, especially in the modern era. It is still very new, but I would like to point out this is also dropped brand new. Let's go back to Mickie James two, three years ago in the Royal Rumble as Knockouts World Champion.
Yeah.
And then we had Jordan in the Rumble. So like the only company, and then we also, to be fair, Noah and All Japan got some talent as well with Shinsuke and Regal's son, who went over there. So like these doors, they're freaking open.
This feels different to me.
This is 100% different.
Challenging for a WWE title.
Yeah, it's not like a guest spot in a match.
No,
it's not not doing a fate where it's like, because I think those Japan ones were Shinsuke wanted to work with one of his mentors. So okay, you can go over and do one date. Same with Carl in New Japan when he first got signed. Finish your date, then come. Same with Dempsey going over to All Japan.
Yeah,
they're kind of like almost like a sure, we'll do you a favor. This is like there's something is worked out here, like kind of thing.
Yeah, because they gotta push and signify who is Jordynne Grace to this audience. Why does she deserve a title shot against, you know, like your current program's champion, right?
Yes.
Like, and that's always going to be a tough one to kind of like push forward on TV, because to Jake's point, like WWE traditionally in the last, like, you know, I would say decade plus, right, has been
probably two decades.
Yeah, probably longer. Yeah. I would probably say like from the purchase of WCW up until now, right, up until like Vince's, you know, unceremonious departure, there has been a kind of a very strict, like, it doesn't really exist anywhere else, but maybe we might mention it here and there. Like when AJ Styles came out and, you know, JBL, or was it Corey or JBL? One of them, like when, I think it was JBL, like went off like all of his accomplishments and what like AJ Styles had done to like really sell to the audience. Cause it made no sense to take AJ Styles and put him in NXT. Like that just was pointless. Yeah. He was one of the greatest working wrestlers at that point in time. So like it made sense to like just catapult him to the main roster. But they had to like sell it immediately, right? So I think like those things certainly have played out quite well for WWE in the past. But now it's like such a much more like full frontal, like, hey, we know that there are other companies out there. We're going to, you know, start to have these more, you know, I guess, symbiotic working relationships with them, or just one-offs, right? Because I could easily just see it as Shawn Michaels just being like, dude, Jordynne Grace is phenomenal. And my girls could learn a lot from working with her. And, you know, like this could be a great opportunity to like, you know, share ideas and talent and stuff like that. And, you know, let's not forget, like, you know, Nick Nemeth is over there. And I mean, you know, I've worked with the guy and you know him as well, Matt. I mean, he's just a good dude. So it's like, you'd want to rebuild that bridge in any capacity. It's not like he actually was just NXT freaking champion for a little while. So there's definitely like really cool things that they could do, especially with a company like TNA that, you know, I think has phenomenal talent and really needs just to continue to get that the spotlight put on them, and WWE being that is a great avenue for the franchise. And honestly, all I want is Joe Hendry versus Trick Williams for the title. That's all I want. You know, like I don't think it's a hard thing, but I could just see it now, right? Trick Williams comes out. He's like, oh, you know, talking his smack, doing his stuff. And then he's like, you know, they got great wrestlers over there, you know, like their current world champion Moose, you know, maybe the crowd goes Moose, you know, do some cheering.
And
you
then
know,
he just like, says, I don't believe anyone can beat me from TNA. And he says the magic words.
That's it. And then the music plays. And then he makes his way down. And then before you know it, we're all just doing the wave with everyone. It'd be so great. I would really like an NXT TNA cross promotional pay-per-view. I think that shit would fucking slap.
Oh, yeah. Straight up. I know it would. Yeah, I know it would. I've been telling everybody, temper your expectations.
Sure. Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to like be like, nothing's going to happen. I've just seen it a lot where like it just builds up in people's minds. In my head, we're going to get two or three, I think, like really interesting crossover matches. I don't think we're going to get a full fledged event. It would fucking slap. But
you don't think we're going to have WWE and TNA present the prohibited portal? Yeah, pay-per-view. That's not gonna happen.
No, not quite. I don't think so. If it does, oh baby,
yeah,
that'd be awesome. Yeah. But I would like to point out, I mean, so Jordan's challenging for the NXT title, and then a week later, right here in Chicago, live at Against All Odds, we just learned Jordynne Grace is gonna have an open challenge at Against All Odds, does not have a named opponent. Anybody could walk through.
My question, my real question is, when are you going to show up and throw Booker T's ass off the commentary?
That's what I'm saying.
Take
right
over the headset. That's all I want to know.
You want to know? I'll tell you when he doesn't want to get on a plane from Texas anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what? But actually,
he got a good deal right now. He got a good, man, him and Vic. They have so much fun. I got to see Vic, who came to he came out to our play actually. Because his wife was in it as well. So, you know, he's like, no, they've got a good thing going, but I love working with Vic. I love working with Tom too. I've had some great partners.
You've been gifted some pretty awesome commentators to work with, like guys who are just like good at the craft, like overall.
Yeah. And like actually fun to like talk to outside of work and stuff like that too.
And I cannot stress enough, like how valuable that is. Like you got to be able to, cause like the camaraderie comes off like on camera, like on, you know, on the microphone. The more that you like get to know one another and work with each other, you can build that, because in esports, like, you know, most companies do it in esports to try and prevent talent from being able to bargain together, because if they do, they can ask for more money. And that's never a good thing in esports. But, you know, in it, like whenever you see commentators working together and they like Brennan Sideshow is like a great example of that in Valorant and Overwatch, like just they trust each other fully. Like they, he could, Brent could say anything and Sideshow would pick it right up. Like, is that level of trust that you have that it makes like the product that much better? It's why I think, like, honestly, for my money, man, Nigel McGuinness has been such a contributing factor to like how good AEW commentary has continued to evolve, because like he has brought the character element to it while at the same time bringing the technical element, which has been really, really fun to listen to. I just really like, there's so many great commentators working in the space right now. Like, as one, I am definitely always impressed by what we're seeing out there. But yeah, I mean, there's some cool shit. TNA NXT pay-per-view, book it. I would love it. I'm just saying, it would be really cool. You know, or you could just watch TNA right now, you know, TNA Plus. You can also you know, it's $1 on YouTube. Just saying.
Check out Against All Odds. I'm just saying,
Against All Odds. Oh, I was going to say, I do have a theory. I do have a I could see something happening. There's been two recent departures in WWE TV lately that we've seen. One of them was the man, Becky Lynch, right? She said some words and it was gone. And like, I don't know if Becky is going to be the one to walk through the prohibited portal. But there has been another person that recently has walked away, and that's Natalia. And I could see Natalia showing up through the portal that is prohibited at Against All Odds and challenging Jordynne Grace for the TNA Knockouts Championship.
I literally had the same thought. I think that would be a really good match.
It would be a fucking great match. Are you kidding me? Holy shit.
That'd be a slobber knocker and a half.
That would be phenomenal. I mean, Natalia's still one of the best in the ring, you know, like, she, just one of the best technical wrestlers that, you know, WWE has. And then Jordynne Grace? That shit was slap.
It is interesting, though. Like, so I do truly believe, I mean, we kind of talked about it a little bit. I think Becky gonna go home. Girl, sit down. She deserves it.
She should chill. She's vibing right now.
I think that's what she was supposed to do that after Mania. Yeah. Rhea got hurt, picked up the banner for a minute. I think she go home. She deserves it. But there is that part of me too, because she's gone on the record. It's in her book. I could too far to reach. It's in her book. They'll be like, one of the first places she wanted to wrestle was TNA because of the way they use their women's division as opposed to other wrestling companies. Way back when, at the time when she was getting back into wrestling,
they were super far ahead. Yeah,
she always, I think, wanted to compete for the Knockouts division in some way, shape, or form. So maybe that's a bucket list item when she comes back. I don't know. And this relationship is maybe
that would be sick.
That would be massive. Huge. That would be absolutely massive.
Wow. That would be huge. I actually would not. If Becky Lynch, you know, showed up through the, you know, Banish Gateway,
then it would also play into the whole, like, she hasn't renewed her contract thing yet. Is she going to TNA?
Sure,
is she,
right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they have been really playing with the whole, like, she's, you know, she's gone, right? Like, narratively, and also, like, even with, like, on Fightful, and you've been seeing, like, posts, like, that she's no longer there. And, like, I wouldn't be opposed if she even did it at Against All Odds. I think that would be awesome.
Be wild.
She can go there, wrestle a very safe match with an incredibly talented opponent that will make headlines. It will be all over the place. And then Becky just vanishes, you know, and also feeds further into the story of her losing. And, you know, like, there's meat on the bone.
There's
meat on the bone. All right, well, let's go ahead and move on. More WWE discussions this time around. A lot of women's division discussion, because honestly, they're cooking right now.
Yeah,
absolutely. We'll get this first part out of it, but with Nia Jax winning the Queen of the Ring, she'll be challenging Bayley, which there's not much really to talk about right now, just that good. This is good.
We're presuming Bayley, right? I mean, in theory, Bayley could have title defenses between now and SummerSlam.
And she could lose to Piper Niven, which is making Piper Niven seem like a threat in this, but I think it's just
And I love that. So that's, I just hope they haven't been doing it too bad. Even from storytelling perspective, like, you're kind of tipping your hat if you play too hard into Nia and Bayley going back and forth in these initial weeks.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, oh, we're definitely going there. So now I know that every like title defense, even though, even if that does seem like the obvious route,
yeah,
which, and I'm sure it'll be a great match and a great story as we get there, it does kind of throw some water on any potential SmackDown women's, you know, or WWE women's title matches.
I agree. Which is why I like that they haven't been so obvious. They haven't been so obvious about it.
Hopefully they stay a little bit more pulled back until we get closer and it's more for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially with Chelsea Green involved and like,
yeah,
that adds,
give me some hope and give me some maybe. I like maybe.
Because that has been a bit of an issue as of late, where it's like, you look at the big tentpole events and then you're like, okay, this person's going to be champion until this tentpole event, because why would they take the belt off of them there? And this kind of goes back to what we were talking about in previous episode about unpredictability being an issue. Like you need a little bit more of that. Otherwise it does start to feel a little too like, what's the point of tuning into the week to week television? Like when you factor in like how good the build to WrestleMania was, a lot of that was predicated on, you know, like the overarching story they were telling, but then they were also, you know, dropping all these like other good nuggets in there of like story development, like Sami Zayn's story, and then, you know, the women's championship story. Like everything was kind of like building very well, whereas like it does feel like at times there's just too much, okay, we're sitting and we're waiting for this next big show happen, cool, we'll make a big change and then we move on, you know. I would like to see a little bit more movement. Don't think it's going to happen in this particular story, but that's fine, because right now Bayley hasn't had a big program for her to kind of sink her teeth into, a post-championship win. And I've been seeing this a lot where everyone's like, what's Bayley's character? Bayley's character is she's a great wrestler and that she's the current women's world champion. And that's it. Like, that's her character.
Yeah, but she's also a little reaping what she's sowed.
For sure.
You know, she's still having to atone for what she did when she created Damage Control.
Been a bad guy for a long time.
Yeah.
You know,
so it's in a way she's kind of like finding herself again. I think that that's interesting. I think that's an interesting storyline, especially for a champion.
Yeah. But I also do think that it's kind of time for Nia, you know, like Nia, I got to give her it, week in and week out. She has been putting on some pretty damn good matches for her, the style of wrestling that she's doing. Like, even though I think that she's going to get judged quite aggressively just because of how she's been used as a character and also her as a performer and, you know, all that stuff. But it's kind of undeniable that this run of Nia right now has been very good.
It's been good.
And her kind of like getting this Queen of the Ring. I really like the way they use King and Queen of the Ring for this. I thought it was so cleverly done. And now they're pivoting over to the build for Money in the Bank, which is, it's just, again, it's just smart, you know, the way they're sprinkling this in and making you like get really invested in these bigger stories involving a bunch of wrestlers now, you know, as opposed to it being like a smattering of blood feuds and then only like a few big stories matter.
I have an idea that I think would be interesting for Nia.
Mm.
Because yeah, she's been on a tear. She's been dominating lately. She's unapologetic about it. Which is great. It's perfect for her. What if she joined the new bloodline?
Ooh.
She is related to The Rock.
Yes.
I mean, that wouldn't she be a bad blood idea.
I mean, and I don't know. I think that would kind of be a cool, interesting twist on the new bloodline of bring in Nia Jax. And then Nia Jax starts just taking over, you know, with them. They bring the women's title and they kind of do with them a little bit what they were doing with what they did with a Judgment Day. I think that could be really cool.
I wouldn't be opposed to it. It's just so close in proximity to what Rhea was doing with Judgment Day.
Sure. I get that.
You know, that's my only real gripe.
The
with
difference
it.
Is people like cheering for Rhea and they do not like cheering for Nia.
That's true.
It could really put more heat on Nia, too.
I propose this as well. That's actually, until you laid it out on this platter in front of me, Jake, I didn't consider it, but I think this meal is starting to appeal to me.
Ooh, okay.
Because think about this, too. So the new bloodline thing, when it first Tama shows up, though, that was pretty cool. Then, you know, everybody starts showing up, like, and it was cool, but like, I think, and he's very good. I think it's safe to say maybe Solo is not the most domineering and convincing leader. Maybe that's part of the story. Will be that he kind of loses control. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's been the most magnetic leader and like lightning rod for that group. And I feel like that this story is skid a little bit, like, as far as like, do we care as much? Mm. I think the other members are more interesting.
Oh, wait, hold on a second.
Tongaloa and Tama Tonga.
Oh, I thought I lost you for a minute there, but I think we're good. We're back. We're back. Okay. We're good.
So I may, you know, she could, it does feel very Judgment Day-y, but she kind of fills that kind of like focal point. She is a bit more of a lightning rod. She does get more heat. I think she gets more intrigue. If she did kind of fit in this, like, not the leader, but like, come on. She's a bit like, she's running the show, or like, at least kind of leading the charge, the focal point of the group. It could be, I think it could be interesting.
That could be interesting. I don't disagree with the idea of Naya being in the bloodline. I think that
to me, it just makes her more terrifying.
True.
Her more scary.
I'm curious to see how this aligns with her current character development. Because right now her character is very focused on championship gold. It's clear that's like what she wants.
And yeah, it's a great opportunity. It's very selfish, self-centered, kind of like it's about me.
Yeah.
And there is a good angle for them here, I think, to Naya has needed to sink her teeth into some other opponents that aren't Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch, because she's basically been in that vortex for like a super long time. And Bayley needs someone different to rival against that isn't Io Sky and Damage Control, because she's been in that vortex for a really long time. And it feels like WWE's whole thing right now is basically resetting a lot of narratives and creating new pathways for characters to interact with one another. So I'm not opposed to it, because I think that is a great way to kind of bring her into the broader storyline of WWE, right? Because that's kind of like how I've been noticing things lately, right? Like, each show has like their big overarching storyline, and then different like angles kind of like lean into that story. So like on Raw, it's Judgment Day. On SmackDown, it's the Bloodline. On AEW, it's the Elite, you know. And even like when you look at Dynamite, it's like the Elite on Dynamite, but then when you get to Collision, it's more like weird, like Bang Bang Gang, and like, you know, more match focused, right? But that's their version of it, because that's the theme of the Collision show. It's very like matches. So I'm not opposed to her kind of getting into that area of it, but I am very interested in seeing how Bayley and Naya, you know, just dance, you know, in the ring, and like what story they try to tell as wrestlers. Because, you know, there is a lot of, you know, there's still so much more to explore with that, right?
Because I think Bayley should drop the title to Naya.
I 100% agree. 100% agree.
Because I think what that does is, like, then it resets a lot. It gives Naya gold. She becomes more dangerous. It also, like,
we need some hot potatoes on championships, I think, to make things interesting. And I think Raw, it's going to be the men's it's going to be the men's world title. And on SmackDown, it's going to be the WWE women's title. I think those are going to be the hot potato belts, potentially.
I could see that, but what I like about Bayley dropping it, she's always been so fun to watch chase a championship.
Yeah,
that NXT Bayley, when she was doing some of her best stuff and she was so wildly over, like, we can mix that with present day Bayley. It'll 100% work.
Yeah,
and have her then like, I had it and I couldn't hold it. I need to find who is Bayley again and get that back. And that journey leads her back to Naya trying to win back her title.
Yeah. And then you give Naya an opportunity to, like, you know, Lia Valkyria maybe gets another shot at gold, and then you know, you kind of bring that story back full circle about her trying to redeem the king, the Queen of the Ring match, and you know, you can even get Naomi back into that picture, because I think you can get some great matches out of and good stories out of a wrestler like Naomi alongside with Nia. There really is some cool directions that they can go with the women's division in on SmackDown in particular.
Give me give me Nia a SummerSlam to Mania reign, and then build somebody, build me somebody to build me a Lyra, like keep her going on the role she's been on. When he, and then give somebody a crowning moment against a fucking monster like Nia at Mania would be a very cool babyface story for next year's Mania.
Yeah, it could definitely be
great, you know, 8 month reign for Nia, that, and she could do a lot of great work in that time.
And it's more like match focused, which will be really good, because then you can kind of like just continue to build like great matches out of this, right? Where contrast on the other side to Monday Night Raw, what they're doing right now, I love. I mean, Liv Morgan is just dynamite. And I'm not talking about the show on Wednesdays. I mean, she is absolutely stellar in this role of the harlot trying to destroy the fucking, I don't know if that's an appropriate term succubus. To use, but it's very the succubus. Yeah. She's the succubus character. She's so good. And we haven't had this in a very long time. Everything's always been centered around like, oh, I'm going to, you know, be better than you, and I'm going to win the title, and I'm going to be the one to guide the women's division and blah, blah, blah. That's not Liv's thing. No.
She is mind game.
She's at the top of the food chain in WWE. And she wants to destroy it. She wants to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
And there is some great story. Yeah. There's some great story.
And it doesn't matter what collateral is a result of it. She just wants to watch Rhea.
This is how you do a revenge tour. It's not by winning matches. It's this shit, you know?
What a freaking, like, Liv's been good for a while, and like they gave her moment a little bit, like it was a year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, but then she kind of ran into Ronda, which was unfortunate.
Yeah, and then she was like the underdog as champion, and like making her tap out, like a few, like, it felt feels like the moment. This, what a glow up from that run to what I, even as early as we are in this run to this championship run, what a upgrade.
Like she just won it. And it's already it's very reminiscent of like when Tony Storm was starting her transition into the timeless Tony Storm story arc, and how you were like, even that one was built up in a very slow manner where you were like not quite sure where it was going. But then you get there and you're like, oh, my God, the character is incredible. Everything fits. This is so good. And now you're in the same exact situation, except you saw it happen from fucking Jump Street. You saw it happen. And it was like a car crash, but you knew it was in the best way possible, you know, because you knew it was happening. And and now that we're here, you just want to see how much damage she can cause, you know, before Rhea shows up for the ass whooping of a lifetime.
She's a human demolition derby right now.
Yeah.
It's like, what is she going to run over and destroy or damage next?
See, here's the thing. I think if you really want to hammer this story home, though, Liv cannot lose. She cannot lose to Rhea. She's got to beat Rhea. And you have to find a way to make that happen. And I think Dom is the
Dom
play.
Is 100%.
Dom is 100% the play.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so obvious. Oh. It's so obvious.
You got to play hardball. Like, they need to keep, I mean, it's going to be hard because, again, assuming SummerSlam is hopefully, seemingly by the timetable, is the place to bring Rhea back. That means you got to hold this tension out. Like, you need Dom rebuffing.
Yeah.
Every chance. Like,
every advance.
No.
Yeah.
And then whenever that match happens, he goes, whatever, pulls the rug out from underneath Rhea. I'm sorry.
I like the idea of, I like the idea of Dom just constantly trying to screw over Liv, but in doing so constantly helps her.
Oh yeah.
You know, like I want this to continue to be the arc that they run with. So that this way it's like, and it's not all the time. I think she needs to like win some matches on her own and like just establish that she is like, you know.
But in some key moments, yeah.
But in those key moments, like Dom comes in and like, oh man, there's a lot that they could, there's so much that they could do with
this. Give me like the little bit of like, again, he's rebuffing her verbally and like on the surface, but give me those little hints of like, he's falling under the spell, like to the point where like JD and Finn or whatever have to like, you need stop going out there. Lock him in a room, right? Like, you stay back here tonight. She's got a title match or whatever. You stay here, bro. Yeah. You are like, I know you're, you say you're trying to do that. He's like, fine, fine. And then like, he opened the door and like the vent is open. And he just
escapes, bro. Again, oh my god,
he's convinced himself he's trying to screw her out of the title, but like he's the spell has worked. The dude, succubus,
and here's
she's like an evil Bond girl. She's like Xenia on a top from GoldenEye. Like it's like she's a femme fatale, and you know, and she just is like has him under this spell and he cannot help it, and she's going to crush him and his thighs because that's what Xenia did.
Here's where I'm excited about this, though. Honestly, here's where I'm excited. There is a like she's making him feel like a man, and with Rhea, he's calling her mommy, and like it's like very much just like, you know, he is the bottom, she is the top, and that's how
his name might be Dom, but we know who the real Dom is.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
When it comes to Rhea.
But with Liv, he gets to feel like a man, you know, because she makes him feel like a man, you know, like that's what I think.
Get real weird with
that's
this,
what I think is gonna happen. I'm telling you, bro, they're gonna get weird with this story. It's gonna be good. Like, it's gonna be fantastic.
Under 18s, close your ears.
Oh boy.
But it's a thing where it's like Dom calling Rhea mommy.
Yeah.
But Liv is calling Dom daddy.
That's what I'm saying, dude. You know,
manipulating him to that effect. Like, you know what I mean? She's gonna play the little like. Because there are men who like that, who like to be built up and like have their ego stuffed up.
Perfect,
or whatever. And, like,
man.
And she's playing that role, even though she is the mental champion. She is playing him over and over. Mm-hmm. But by trying to do that, it could be very, very good.
It's so good. I love all of this. This story's fantastic. It's only going to get better. It's just crazy, too, because it's like, I'm more invested in this than anything that's going on in WWE TV right now. Because there's good stuff. There's honestly good stuff happening across the board. Like, you know, but this has just been so compelling to the point where it's like,
dude, sexual intrigue and revenge? No shit.
Yes, it's so good. And finally,
you can all tell me about like, oh, how many matches, like things, but at the end of the day, you know what's going to draw more attention again? But it comes back to, you have an interwoven, interesting story.
Yeah.
With
and it's not like being sexualized for the sake of being sexualized. Like there's reasons and there's like layers to it. And
it's not good story. It is a woman weaponizing her sexuality. And I think
to get revenge on,
because in the old regime, it would have been some other bullshit where it's like, you know what I mean?
Oh, we got to make her come out look sexy. But it's like, no.
It's gratuity.
She looks sexy by being a threat, you know? Like that's how she, because she's the femme fatale. She's a succubus. Oh my God, this is so good. I'm all about this. This story's been awesome. Not sure if there's much else to add outside of just keep the eyes open for it, you know, week in, week out. It's going to continue to get better. And then all it's going to lead, I mean, we all can agree, it's just going to lead to Dominic Mysterio just getting his ass utterly whipped by Rhea Ripley.
At some point down the line.
And it's going to be good. It's going to be so funny. And I'm all about it.
WWE's first intergender match?
Yeah, perhaps. It could be, bro. That would be.
It's been a long time anyway.
And again, you know what? You got to give shout outs to Dominic Mysterio here, man. He is playing a perfect role. I just hope that this only can just be built upon for the guy, you know, so that he doesn't get roped into like the guy who got his ass beat, you know, week in, week out. But even then, I don't know.
Who'd have thought that when Judgment Day started, that the star they would be making was Dominic Mysterio?
No shit, right?
I mean, dude,
he's been phenomenal.
He really
has been fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's one of those situations where you like, you can see how much he enjoys playing this, like how much he enjoys getting booed and leans into
that. He's on TV every week and he gets to play his character every week.
And he nails it.
Yeah.
He nails it. Yeah.
He's been fantastic.
Our current, our reigning 24/7 champion, Dominic Mysterio.
Is he? Is he ready?
Yeah.
Resisting the
Speaking of Pat McAfee's breakdown of of him like block again, the comment, everyone's been killing it right now. Though that that Telestrator breakdown thing, that whole gimmick is hilarious. I love it. I love it so much we even have been trying to use it on VCT broadcasts where it's like we just grab like the person and we're like, what were they thinking at this moment in time?
Right.
And we just like have fun with it, with the Telestrator. It's just a shame that Telestrator technology was built in like the 1950s. Needs to get better because it still sucks to this day. In any case, so let's go ahead and move on to what's been going on in the world of AEW. Now, I've been paying a lot of attention to this because I like AEW's like style and how they do their wrestling and how they do their storytelling. So AEW went for it. They full sent it, and I didn't think that they were going to send it this early. What I mean is, Will Ospreay is taking on Swerve Strickland for the AEW World Championship at Forbidden Door. And I did not see this coming in the slightest. Mind you, Will Ospreay just won the International Championship off of Roderick Strong in a phenomenal match at Double or Nothing. And you would think that they would want to build Ospreay and the International Championship a little bit more. But the thing is they are. They're just doing it in a very AEW way, which is with Will winning this. He has been defending the International Championship. He just defended it successfully against Kyle O'Reilly. And it just feels like the story right now that they're telling is Will Ospreay has been perfect. He has been perfect in every way, shape, or form. And he's going to be perfect when he takes on Swerve Strickland for the AEW World Championship. And there's this constant thought online that Will is going to win and he will be like a unified champion. And I'm like, I say nay. He can't
say nay.
Not only can he not win, he needs to lose, and Swerve needs to win clean in the middle of that ring. Clean. Okay. Yeah. I'm going there.
I'm not saying he can't. I think I could. I would actually kind of like that too. But I think there's such a great
There will be shenanigans.
Yeah.
Guys, it's professional
storytelling perspective. I know.
We know it's going to be shenanigans.
Yeah.
In my heart of hearts, I want it clean, but I know shenanigans. Let's talk about what the shenanigans would be, though. How do we get out of this?
Will may be done with the Don Callis family, but they're not done with him.
There it is.
And what I think is going to happen is we're going to have that match at Forbidden Door. They're going to come out and interfere. I don't think Swerve is going to be happy about it.
But who is they?
But
who
Swerve
is
also...
Who is the day of Don Callis family? Because right now, Orange Cassidy turned him down, so he's not joining him. He just has Takeshita, but like...
Trent? Didn't Trent just join him?
Trent actually is good. Okay.
And, you know, on this new big heel turn, is maybe in line. You know, usually when someone does that, you kind of want them to do something big to establish themselves in this new role.
Yeah, yeah.
An opportunity for Trent there.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you
he
might be
right. He also still has, I don't know. They're not Don Callis family member. Who are the Cage and the guy?
The Cage of Agony?
Yeah, who turned on Swerve.
Yeah, so they were just on Collision. So they're doing six-man stuff right now. They're going to go trios. And it's very clear they're doing like a face trios thing because they just came out and did like a squash match. It was highly entertaining and it was just like Brian Cage getting to do all the crazy shit that he likes to do. And they were just going nuts. It was actually a very, very entertaining matchup. So I don't think that they're going to go in the direction of utilizing them. But I do think Trent is the more likely, because then you get Trent versus Will for the international title. See, my thing is, and I'd said this, I posted this on Threads. You know, not on Twitter, but on Threads. It doesn't matter. It's the same shit. I think that you can get to a realistic world where you have Okada facing off against Ospreay and you unify those titles, because at this point, there is just no value in the Continental Championship. I know, we've been saying
this. We're going to speak this shit into existence.
There's just no value in it.
No. As separate to, like, no. We need.
He's not defending it. He's not doing anything with it. So my view is, You get Will to lose because the Elite probably screw him in some way, shape, or form, less so than Don Callis, which maybe doesn't make the most sense, but it does.
What's
take
their motivation for that?
And I think the motivation might get built over the course of the next few weeks, because like the only thing I can think of is Okada's been perfect. Okada hasn't been involved in any of these matches. He hasn't been given any of these opportunities. He hasn't lost at all. Why is Will Ospreay getting all of these opportunities? And then if Will loses, then you can have an Okada who's come out and say, well, I'm perfect. I'm great. I could beat you and I could win the title. And then, you know, like Ospreay's like, well, let's just make this interesting. And then we'll unify, you know, our championships. I'll put mine on the line. You put yours on the line. And then you do that at All in Wembley. And then you get a Will Ospreay beating Okada for a unification of the Continental International title. Because what else are you going to do with the fucking belts, guys? Well, what do you do with the Continental title?
Why wouldn't Okada win that?
Okada wins it. Honestly, it doesn't really matter.
I mean, yeah.
Just merge them. That's all you need to do. Just merge the stupid belts together, because right. You don't need both of them right now.
That's true. So there's one... Not that we're going to break down into a total another, like, why are the belts here episode, but a point of value is the Continental Championship came out of the Continental Crown Tournament or whatever, which I do think they intend to do yearly, which I think is a cool idea. It's very much a G1 thing, like we said, with the point system and everything. So it is a unique thing, especially in Western wrestling. So I'd like that fact that would be on TV. I don't think... But with the Continental title being defended, like, in regular matches too, like, somebody could beat, you know, Okada beat Eddie and everything like that. So I think that should, because people are like, well, they'll defend it in the tournament. That'll be the whoever wins that tournament, if there is the champion or whatever. I'm like, can we get maybe separate the two?
Yeah.
And whoever wins the Continental Crown gets a title shot at Revolution. Or whatever the next big show after that would be, like at the beginning of the year, Double or Nothing, whatever it is. I think that would be better as opposed to like another like trophy or belt or something like that. Maybe you do get a trophy, but it's the winner of the tournament gets a shot at blank. And then we can slowly either delete the Continental, like you said, and that would be give us reason to merge it. Because a lot of people, I remember when we talked about this in our initial belt episode, we're like, there's no way they're getting rid. They just made the Continental Crown Championship. They just had their first Continental Crown tournament. They're going to do it every year. It has to be represented. So I think you could shift it like that.
Yeah, it just feels like the International Championship is more important. Like, it is simply just more important than...
I like the belt better, too.
I like the belt better. I like the idea of the belt better, because it's like it works for a lot of the wrestlers who have won it, have been international wrestlers that have been defending the title, you know, like overseas as well. The Continental didn't really make a lot of sense. It made sense to take, like, I could be theorizing here and I could be off the goop, but if I had to imagine, the Continental Championship is probably something that they had put into, you know, like, to make during CM Punk's time. They were going to do it, and then it ended up Punk, you know, that whole thing fell apart, because remember, they had the whole Real World Championship and they did all that stuff, and there was kind of this odd kind of not soft lock but kind of soft lock of Dynamite and Collision talent, and then they had the belt made and they're like, fuck it, let's just they had the plan already set in place, and then they lost Punk, and it made a lot of sense to put the belt on Eddie because it's Eddie, so like, you know, everyone would be invested in it because it's Eddie Kingston's story. Because it was bizarre that he just like rolled up and was like, you know what, I'm gonna put all the belts on the line, and it just made that tournament feel so much more important because all these titles were on the line for it. So it was like, okay, cool. You know, like, this is like a thing that they're doing and calling it the modern triple crown and so on and so forth. But then, you know, like, Eddie wins the belt. They don't really do much with it. It's very clear, like, you know, they need to take all these belts off of Eddie in different companies. And, you know, that happens. And then Okada shows up and then he just cleanly just beats Eddie in the middle of the ring with like no problem whatsoever. That thing just falls flat. You move on from that. And then Okada's just walking around with his belt the entire time. And it genuinely just felt like this was a thing that they had made for a certain individual who's no longer there, and he's not there anymore. So it's like, well, let's just go back to our original plan, which was, you know, AEW World Championship, International Championship, and I guess TNT, both of them kind of being close to one another for different reasons. And then, you know, then that's that. And now you have the FTW Championship, which is like your hardcore belt, which I have been really liking. So I don't know. I just make so much more sense to me than to continue to like keep this belt in rotation that doesn't really hasn't really been defended on TV. You know? And also like you get Will to fight Swerve, you get reasons, you move the story in a different direction. You know that match is gonna bang. Like that's gonna be fucking 5-star match. So yeah, that's how I've been working it in my head. But I've been really liking how they're going about with this and just the freaking the casino Royale format. That shit is cool. I really like that. I thought it's different. Gauntlet. Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, you know? I liked it too.
You know, taking risks, cool. Trying out some new things. Anything on the AEW front that's been compelling to you guys as of late, or has it been kind of a holding pattern for you as well? Because I feel like it's a lot like that right now.
A little bit, and especially I think with this, you know, their next big show is Forbidden Door, which a lot of it is just kind of built off of like fun one-offs with, you know, New Japan talent, right? So like not a ton. I mean, like the Elite story is kind of consistent with, you know, where it's going to happen, but it does feel like we're just building some really cool dream matches or one-off matches or interesting cross-promotional matches and less in the trenches of stories and stuff like that. I mean, I think coming out of it, we could, again, with Will and Swerve, I think there's going to be some question, like a clean win. Honestly, a clean win either way would very much surprise me.
I just don't think Will's going to win. I would be so disappointed if Will won too.
Then you would make Swerve a transitional champion, which would, I think, is very undercuts him.
Diminishes him. Yeah, 100%.
And he does not deserve that. He's fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing that I do like that we have begged AEW to do, and they have finally done it, is introduce an on-camera authority figure.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm so glad. I'm so, so glad that they finally did that. Yeah. And especially because the Elite needed someone adversarial who can hold their own against them on camera, on the mic.
Who's not Tony.
Yeah.
And, you know, also is a little bit of a physical threat too. So I like that they finally pulled the trigger on that, and that we have an authority on camera.
I also just love the way that Christopher Daniels just looks like a stressed out manager at a Blockbuster, you know, like he's got like the hand, and I want him to just keep it going. I honestly like that. Like I've always loved like when like the on camera personality has like, you know, there's a certain vibe about them, right? When you see Nick Aldis on camera, you get this like, oh, you know, he's Nick Aldis. You know what I mean? This guy definitely sniffs his own farts and it's great. You know, like it smells like sandalwood.
Mahogany.
Right? Sandalwood. Right? Yeah, exactly. And then you got like Adam Pearce, who's like very clearly, you know, this guy has been put in this position. He's just trying to do the best job he possibly can. And Chelsea Green harassed him for weeks on end and he finally got rid of her. So he's like this, like, you know, a guy who works at a paper sales company who feels
Wallace.
Yeah, he's David Wallace. He got a breath of fresh air. And then you got fucking stressed out retail employee like manager with Christopher Daniels, who just like shows up. He's just like, guys, I'm just here for work this day. Please just don't bother me. Okay, here are the matches. Go out there and fight. You know, like I really like the vibe that they're going with. You know, there's also, you know, think with AEW right now, they're finding a lot of directions with their stories and how they want things to go. There's something bigger afoot here, I think, with the Elite. And I'm really excited to see where this goes, because right now it's very much just been like, you know, okay, they're still here, they're still bad, they're still assholes. But what you guys keep saying, you're going to change the world, in what way? How are you going
to
change the world?
We need to see. Yes.
That's why I think Forbidden Door is going to be that, like, you know, Double or Nothing establishes his bad guy faction. Forbidden Door is going to establish the motivations of his bad guy faction.
I think we need a, like, they burst onto the scene, you know, Jack Perry returns, all that shit. It's been pretty good. I think we need our "it gets darker before the dawn" moment.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be whether it is All In or All Out, where we finally squash them, the bad guys, out, and we disband them or whatever. They're beaten away. Whether it is Blood and Guts or whatever, maybe this fall. But we need to get to that deeper. They need to fuck shit up. They need to turn the lights out. They need to do something to make us really go.
And that's why I think the Okada story or theory kind of makes sense, because it's like you've already established you can fuck with Swerve. That was the whole point of the Christian feud, is that they literally placed him there. So I think, like, now them fucking over Ospreay and then also taking a win away from Swerve just also established that as well, because, like, these are two guys right now that are, like, just the best that they've ever been, right? So it's like, it makes so much sense that, like, the little shits over at the Elite are going to ruin a dream match at Forbidden Door, because that is what little shits would do, you know, right? Like, that makes sense to me. As opposed to, like, maybe Don Callis, which, if it is a proxy through Don Callis, which they've also proven that they would be willing to do as well, you know, that could also be a possibility. But that doesn't sound fun. You know, that doesn't seem as fun to me.
I like the Elite doing something again. Just really, Forbidden Door is a weird place to do it, though, again, because it's built around just kind of like the two companies working together, amazing matches. It's a little less. Yeah. So, like, I don't know if that's the place to do it. The more and more I'm thinking about it, I think we get a clean Swerve win on Ospreay.
I mean, I was throwing it out there with my just passion for everything Swerve Strickland, but
maybe, you know. Because, like, could see some Don Callis, but I feel like, man, maybe we've, my own thing is, you know, you don't leave us, we leave you kind of thing from the Don Callis family. And then that's what they do. I would, in an ideal world, I do think Trent, something with Trent sets up Will and Trent international title. Great. That'll be a great match at another pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Good storytelling, but they also, you know, especially at a Forbidden Door, they, you know, it's just straight up. It's about kind of a wrestling show.
Yeah.
More, even more so than a lot of AEW's other shows. Forbidden Door in particular is very much a highlight the rest. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. It is. But they have been showing a willingness to step into the story perspective a bit more, which I think has been, you know, they got a lot of that criticism of, like, there haven't been good stories. I was actually listening to Swerve's podcast that he just did with Will Ospreay not that long ago. It was like a few weeks back, I think. Mm-hmm. This was like post Dynasty. And they were talking about how, like, they went, like you could hear him not say it, but they were, it seemed like they were in like a narrative jail of like all the problems that were circulating, like from injuries to things not panning out the way that they wanted them to, you know, like even departures and stuff like that. So the vibe that I'm getting is that there is a steady, clear line narratively that AEW wants to follow. And I think that all those pathways naturally will have to lead through the Elite, because they are, you know, the current big bad faction right now. Right.
Very true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Overall, I've been loving it. But there has been just so much to enjoy, which has been really, really awesome. And you know, that of course takes us to, I think, our favorite segment of the week, the Rebook 24/7 champion. Now I have my choice. I can go. Mine isn't as funny, but it is funny-ish. Depends on how you look at it. I can go first if you guys want to think.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I might need a second to mull.
Okay. So
I've been thinking about it. I haven't landed on one yet.
My Rebook 24/7 champion is someone who honestly has it's a person. It's a wrestler. He's just been so good. And he's done everything that is asked of him, and he will only continue to get better, and not even get better, because he's already one of the best performers in the business right now. But my God, he plays the role so well. The greatest villain in the ring as it stands, is Jay White. I got to give all the flowers. Go back and watch Jay White in the casino matchup, the casino gauntlet match. He annoyed everyone at a specific time. Someone got annoyed by something Jay White did and then beat the shit out of him. And then he came back and then he annoyed him again. And he continued to just be an annoying prick throughout the entire match when everyone else was like so enthusiastic about the wrestlers that was coming out. Who was there to just be a dick every single time that they showed up to the ring? Jay White. He was there to just be a douchebag. He then, you know, hits the Blade Runner. He gets robbed out of his wins time and time again. But Jay White will be a world champion one day. I will stand by this, and he is just such a great little shithead. Again, he'll be a world champion in AEW. He was already a world champion in New Japan, but he'll be a world champion in AEW, and he's a great shithead. And for that, he is my Reebok 24/7 champion of the week, because we like shitheads out here.
Touche.
Okay, that's what I got.
I can get down with that.
Okay, do we have who wants to go next?
So last week we had Dominic Mysterio as our 24/7 champion, but now I'm starting to think it should be Dominic Mysterio's wife. She is God's strongest soldier and is giving her the harshest battles to overcome. Part of me thinks it should be her.
That's a good one.
That's
better than anything I was gonna pick.
I mean, and that would be a first time ever that a husband and wife consecutive. That could be history making right
history.
There. Yeah, really. But it depends. What does Matt have? What do you have, brother?
Dude, I don't have any. It's a slow news week for me.
You know what? I'll nominate Matt's figure. Have you
Matt's
seen
physique?
You see
actually,
the,
yeah.
Did you see?
It's he's not
got
fair.
He's got the crucifix physique with the
lighting.
V's.
It was
and
great
the,
lighting.
It was great. This bitch says it was great lighting. Hold on. I'm going to go ahead and find this.
I've never been in lighting like that in my life.
Yeah, I want you to find me where the hell this lighting is so that this way I could look like that. And here it is.
Naturally skinny.
Man. You're going to hate us for this. Lighting. Hopefully this scene switches.
We're
gonna
over. Matt's
bam!
Gonna copyright,
look at this.
Matt's gonna copyright strike our own episode.
Yeah, I mean, all right, let me get Google on now.
I mean, where the fuck is this lighting, Matt? Okay, lighting. And then
it's
I'll
these lights actually. To be fair, it's these lights.
And then I'll go under it at all times. I don't want to come in and Cynthia comes in and she's like, "Why do you have a picture of Matt?"
At home just... workouts, baby.
Yeah,
I mean, good lord, Matt.
YouTube workouts, baby, every fucking day.
You know what? Honestly, that is super inspirational because I've been like, I gotta go to the gym and I gotta do this.
When I 6 weeks on the road with the show I was with, I didn't wanna because I, you know, when I was on the road wrestling, you know what? Number one, making good money with WWE, so it was less of a hassle.
Yeah.
But like, because you go into these gyms and when you go town to town, yeah, they'll let you in, but it's
they're not good
for a day pass
and it
too,
depends
you know what
on
I mean?
What you get there. Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't want to deal with having to find a place. And then, so I'm like, I want to work out in my hotel room.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let me find some, like, I just, you know, YouTube fit, you know, no equipment workouts. And I found a couple of reputable, some like pretty good, like fitness creators who had like 15 or 20 minute. And it's like, you know, a minute, 30 seconds of pushups, hop up, a minute of jumping jacks. Rest 30 seconds. Okay, now we're doing squats for a minute. You know, it's all shit like that.
That's crazy.
But man, yeah. But it's good conditioning. I won't turn into Randy Orton. I'm not going to get huge.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get in, I'll be in really good condition.
And I think that's really all I want is just to look all right in clothing. You know what I mean? Yep. Like just not.
Actually, the whole point is to look good naked, brother.
Oh, well, there you go. I wasn't ready for that one. But now that I've heard it, I'm not mad. Honestly, man, that's awesome. Congrats.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, who do we give it to? We give it to Matt's physique. We give it to the villain, Jay White, or we give it to Dominic Mysterio's wife for being the. I think we give it to Dom's wife. You are the congratulations for the first time in the history of this illustrious program. A husband and wife have been consecutive Reebok 24/7 champions of the week, all because of a succubus.
Another. And Liv Morgan. Yes.
That's it. Yes. Oh man, that story is fantastic. Honestly, this
her,
is just
her and Buddy Murphy need to start a group together.
For real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Start a support group.
Yeah, right. They just gotta have conversations and be like, did you watch Raw this week? Yeah, I know I did. It's fucked up, man.
Yeah.
This is why we love them, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Oh man. Well, that's gonna do it for us this week. Overall, a fun week of wrestling, you know. A lot of things have, you know, especially after big shows, a lot of things kind of just start getting planted. And then as we
ooze of exactly things coming out together,
you know, you got AEW that's doing a cross promotional show with New Japan Pro Wrestling and CMLL to a lesser extent. So that's happening. You get the what's going on with TNA and NXT. You're getting some really cool stuff that's happening with WWE. Overall, it's been a lovely week of wrestling, and it seems like we're only going to continue to get more. So make sure you're out there supporting all that stuff. And you happen to like the style of this show is, you know, it's about having fun. You know, we're not trying to, you know, talk about, oh man, this person's leaving. Oh, why see what drama's coming up? No, fuck that. It's garbage. All right. These are people who pour their heart and soul into this performance art that we love so much. And we just like talking about the silly stories that they tell in the process. So if you happen to enjoy this show, you can give it a like. You can subscribe to us on our YouTube. You can also follow us on Spotify. You can also check us out on Apple Podcasts as well. When I come back from DR, I'm going to start streaming a little bit more. You know, so you can check out, you know, we're trying to convince Jake to stream his NCAA games. I mean,
we got 45 more days until that.
We got to see you just be a degenerate for hours on end, just yelling at these poor children playing people college football it. As he just, what's your team again? Alabama is right.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Alabama.
That's not who I'm going to be playing as in the dynasty.
Who would you like be playing as?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I like to rebuild a small program.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. That's always fun. Is to take us. I'm thinking about Oregon State. I'm not.
How
sure.
much get you to do Rutgers? Rutgers? Are they even a team? Are they even a team?
Rutgers is a team. There was a hot minute in the early aughts in the 2000s.
Yeah,
that they looked like they were going to be pretty decent, and then they just.
And then they just tanked.
They just nosed
it. Sounds a lot like New York sports, you know?
Yeah.
We get really hyped up, you know, and then just all comes crumbling down. It's life a New Yorker. It's great. But hey, I vote Rutgers. That's what I say. Let us know in the comments what school you think Jake should play in NCAA
this is the
football.
Question of the week.
Yeah. get as wild as possible. Hawaii Tech. I don't know. Find something.
I don't think there's a Hawaii Tech.
I just made up a school. I figured it existed, put words together.
Maybe
who knows?
Hawaii. Maybe I'll just
University
pick Hawaii.
Of Hawaii.
I didn't go to school. So, yeah, I didn't go to college.
The Warriors.
Oh, I like that. Okay. Well, go ahead and let us know what school you think Jake should be playing in NCAA football in 45 days, and he will 100% take your thoughts into consideration. Yep. I'm just totally making it up for him. But that is going to do it for us here, guys. Thank you so much for checking out Rebook. Once again, we'll see you guys next week, same time, same place. Peace. Take care, folks.
Later.